Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Oye mi gente, it's Ish, and I know you've been hearing me rave about UFIT on this show since the very start. And as I've mentioned, fitness shouldn't have to cost un ojo de la cara. Bueno, that's not a problem at UFIT. Monthly memberships start at just $10. That's right, you can have access to state-of-the-art fitness equipment and group classes offered at many locations. There's even affordable personal trainers who put together a personalized plan that might even let you still enjoy the occasional croquetica. Maybe. Affordable and member-focused. ¿Qué más tú quieres? Find your fit at ufit.com to find a club nearest you. After all, only you can be your own fitness hero.
Hey people, this is DJ.
And this is Ish.
And this is season four of Better Let Me Tell You.
Well, you know, when you have to communicate a length of time and 2 hours, you have to find shorthand.
One more day, a day more, 5,068 minutes and 10,000 hours, whatever.
I don't even know how to begin to calculate that time frame.
I don't even know what it is either.
You and I are totally frito this week.
Yeah. Like frito-lay.
Or we might be double fried like our wings.
Oh, exactly. Are we recording?
We are recording.
Well, welcome everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Yes. Happy Friday. Welcome to episode
174.
174. I feel we've been in the 170s for quite some time.
Right? Yeah.
Every year, every month, every week, it's like, every year, every month, any day, every decade, every millennia. We're like 170. What?
Yes, and you know, I'm of course I'm going to promote the wings. I've been going to the Thalia School of, you know, cross promotional efforts.
Yes. So thank you everybody that came out to be culture, to have our wings.
Yes.
We have a lot of exciting things in store with the wings and that whole
world,
that whole thing over there
that
with
whole
the wings
side hustle.
So everybody, thank you. Yeah, so happy Friday, everybody. How's everybody doing this week?
I think everybody's doing aight. You know, we've officially kicked off Hispanic Heritage Month.
Yes. Let's talk about that little gem.
Okay. Why, my God.
Well, no, there's a reason.
His face just shifted like he's about to tell me to go kill someone or something.
So yes, happy Hispanic Heritage Month. I love how our month is from September the 15th through October the 15th.
You know why, right?
My birthday. Yes, because originally they gave us half a month.
No.
No, yes.
Well, okay,
originally
maybe
it was like 10 days.
But the reason that it's half and half is it's meant to kind of bridge because it starts on the day that a lot of countries in Central and South America have like their independence days, mm-hmm. is around the 15th.
Is this just a random occurrence that most Latin American countries have?
Apparently, it's just a thing. You know, we're all very similar, you know, and also we're all always late.
High September. That is when real Mexican restaurants have el chile nogado. Yes, el chile nogado, which is like, it's what Mexicans actually have on real Mexican independence. Not
Cinco de Mayo.
Not Cinco de Mayo.
not a holiday created
chiles
by a
nogado,
beer.
And it's so delicious. But they chiles nogados, they only have it in like higher end, really authentic Mexican restaurants, because it's a legit Mexican meal, and it's amazing. It's this delicious. It's like a chile relleno, okay. And then it has an almond cream sauce and pomegranate seeds over it. So it's just so delicious.
It sounds decadent.
Well, it is with the sauce, but then the pomegranate seeds are like very fresh.
But even pomegranate is a little decadent because it's not an everyday fruit.
Right, no, but the taste.
Right.
So it's great. Whoever hasn't had that needs to go have it. So you're saying, yes. It's because...
And then it got extended into October. That kind of kept going. And then, you know, Columbus Day, which I know we're not fans of Columbus Day anymore, but, you know, once upon a time. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of bridging the gap of those two.
Well, isn't that an irony?
Yeah.
let's bridge the gap between...
Apparently, irony was not high on their list.
Between, you know, independence
and
to colonization.
Colonization, yes.
As one does.
Yes.
Right?
But if anybody can do irony, it's us Hispanics.
Yes. Well, no, when you said, you know, Hispanic Heritage Month, I kind of like double take, because here locally in Broward County...
Yes.
Was it Twitter or was it... Instagram.
I don't think it was Insta. I think it was on Twitter. I think
it
was Twitter.
The official Twitter handle for the
for Broward County.
Broward County. It said Happy Heritage Month, and they put a dancing taco with maracas.
Yes.
And
you want to talk about tone deaf?
When I first saw that, I go, okay, like this is totally a joke.
It's
right?
Gotta be. It's gotta
like,
be a
this
joke.
This is totally like an account,
a parody account, like
right,
the plantain.
Oh, no, it was a real thing. Yeah, no. And these are the things that happen, and I'm kind of like, okay.
And it's the county right above us.
Yes, and I'm thinking like, okay. Is there an intern in charge of this? Is there, like, how did that?
The only thing I can think of, and I'm going to be generous. Is that because it was a little cartoon? It was something festive and celebratory.
Oh, the taco's super cute.
It's super cute.
Let's not hate on the taco.
It wasn't like,
I mean, it's dancing with maracas.
Yeah, it wasn't like,
and it has sour cream on it.
It wasn't like a derogatory image either, right? I mean, it's a cute thing. Maybe the person who genuinely did it thought like, oh, this is a fun little festive thing. I guarantee you, that was an intern.
You think so?
Okay, part of me says yes, just because an intern, that seems like an intern thing to do. But the other part of me says maybe not, because interns are supposed to be really woke. Because they're younger, right? So it's like, but I would, that seems intern-y
but
to me.
But I think that,
then again, it's Broward,
they
don't
know. We've talked about this a million times, is that even if you're woke, people that are not Latin or Hispanic or Latinx, right. Whatever you want to call it, always get us wrong. They always...
Right, they miss the mark, yeah.
And they resort to stereotypes and tropes that we all wear sombreros and maracas and eat tacos.
Right. They resort to a stereotype of one group,
right.
And apply it across the board.
Across the board. Right. As I always tell people, you know, there's 24 countries under the United States, right?
Yeah.
That, with the exception of Brazil, they all, like, speak Spanish and, you know.
And even that's a Latin-based, you know,
yes. So
language.
So it's like, really? There's 24 countries under the United States? Yes. And that's not even taking consideration the Caribbean. People.
That's true.
When I saw it, yeah, I thought it was a joke. I mean, it's tone deaf. It's offensive. You know, and you know that we're not the type to be like totally offended.
Yeah.
At things, we don't get easily offended. And it's not that I was offended to the
point. I wasn't offended, but I was like, coño.
I'm so offended. I'm walking in shame today. Oh my God. I'm shaking.
Oh my God. That's yes.
I'm shaking of how mad I am. I found
it. Made me kind
of
go like, really?
I found it like. Frustrating and sort of funny at the same time that they still don't get it.
Right.
Especially for Broward and Dade, that the majority, the large majority of the Hispanic or Latin population here is not Mexican. It's
right.
It's Cuban, it's Puerto Rican,
Venezuelan.
It's Venezuelan, it's Peruvian, it's right. Colombian, it's Nicaraguan, Honduran,
yeah, it's so on and so forth. It's not Mexico.
It's not Mexican.
Right.
Right? And it's nothing against Mexico or Mexicans.
Just demographically.
But the demographics of the Latin community here is not that, you know?
Right.
And you know, people always say, oh, Cubans. But it's not even that. There's a lot of Venezuelans here. There's a lot of Colombians.
Puerto Ricans.
There's a lot of Puerto Ricans. You know, a lot of that. And I'm just so surprised that that's what happened. Now, I'll just talk about Hispanic Heritage Month, and I really...
And us not being tacos?
And I really want tacos.
I don't think... I mean, we just had some delicious cookies, so I don't think we should have tacos.
It's raining tacos. Have you heard that song?
No.
It's like one of those kids' songs. It's raining tacos. Na, na, na. Tacos. No?
Okay. But is it so lethargic?
What?
If it was raining tacos, I'd be a little happier than that song suggests.
Well, that is true.
You're like, it's raining tacos. Like, oh... Is this somebody who does not enjoy tacos?
No. So anyway, so something I wanted to bring up because it happened this week is the Met Gala.
Oh, yes. I was going to bring up the VMAs, but let's go with the Met
Gala. Oh, we'll talk about the VMAs too. Okay. The Met Gala. Are you into the Met Gala?
Yes and no. Like, I enjoy, like, you know, I'll do a cursory, like, quick look at who's wearing what and whatever. But I don't, like, pore over everything. I will say... We need to open up an investigation because after seeing Iman at the Met Gala, I'm pretty sure David Bowie's actual cause of death is that she fed on his life force.
Because she looks great.
To not age a day. I don't know if that's homicide.
She's in her 60s.
Late 50s, 60s. I mean, she's...
Well, but
and
she's...
And she is stunning.
She is.
I mean...
She's a very beautiful woman. Because she's one of these people that she's very... like regal,
yes,
like very,
very statuesque, very, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Oh man, Stephanie's not gonna be happy with this.
You're not a fan of the Met Gala?
It's not that I'm not a fan. It's not that I'm not a fan.
Because it's a fundraiser, right? At the end of the day?
Yeah, I just think, I don't know, it's such pomp and circumstance, and sometimes I think it's a little tone deaf.
Well, it's frivolous, but I think we could all use a little frivolity once
is,
in a while.
It is, but I don't know. I guess you're right. I'm not...
I think as long as you view it through the right lens.
I'm not impressed by it. How about that? I'm not so much... Because I think that now... It's so, like, to shock, and because you know it's gonna, you know, whoever has, like, the most out there outfit,
okay,
it's going to be, you know, talked about.
Right. You know Madonna's never gonna follow the theme.
And you're gonna, and, you know, you're gonna become a meme, you know?
Like Ms. Kardashian,
and, you know,
dude.
Like, the Kim Kardashian outfit. I mean, I just think it's ridiculous. You know what? Actually, no. I know what I want to say. I think that my bigger issue with it, it's in terms of fashion, which is the same thing that I say with art, because I feel that a lot of these Met Gala costumes have become performance art.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Right?
Especially depending on the theme.
Right? Because I consider myself a pretty open-minded person, and I wouldn't say that I'm an expert in art, that I could go to like Metropolitan or to like the Louvre and know about everything, but I think I have enough of an artistic eye to appreciate
Correct.
Art, even if it's not my shtick. You know, right. I'm not a fan of Andy Warhol, but I get it. I get his whole thing.
What
that,
he was
you
doing,
know,
right.
You could, anything could be art, and right. it pop art and whatever. I get it. Even if I'm not a fan of it, it's just that, I feel that there's just some things that, like, people, I don't know if it's critics, I don't know if it's certain people that have influence, say, this is art and we're going to appreciate this. And there's not really much to appreciate because there's nobody who's going to convince me that Kim Kardashian's outfit, like, seriously speaking, I mean, I know it's really funny and it became a meme, right. that Kim Kardashian, you know, dressed in black and covered, nobody is going to convince me that that's avant-garde and that's haute couture and, you know, that's
fair
high
enough.
Fashion.
Fair no. enough. But do you think that maybe because it is Kim Kardashian and she is wearing something that is so covering all of her up... Let me finish. as opposed to the degree of exposure that we've seen of that entire family.
Is that what that was supposed to mean?
I don't know. I'm making it up as I go along.
I don't.
But do you think that that could be viewed as an art piece, as
no.
as an art statement? That no, she is. That
she's covered up in black nylon or whatever the hell it was, Lycra. No, that's it's not.
So you don't think the fact that it's Kim Kardashian covered up as opposed to exposed?
I don't care who would have done that.
But that's the point. You're missing the point.
I understand what you're saying.
Okay.
I understand. First of all, I've not read that that's what it is.
Oh, me neither.
I don't know if you just pulled that out of your ass.
I really did.
Right.
Yeah.
Right? I don't think it was that deep. And let's talk about A$AP Rocky, who wore a comforter.
He's the one that wore the comforter?
And okay, how... Again, and I think that if you are like a designer,
right.
You know, like we've watched Project Runway, we've seen what it takes to design
to get
these pieces. Yeah. Well, you know, I think Project Runway gives you
a decent view of
from sketching to concept to all that, what that means, and you know. That he was wearing a comforter, and then people are like, "Oh my god, let's advance fat." I don't subscribe to. And again, I'm a very open minded person.
At least Lil Nas X had layers.
What the?
Because he came in wearing the Walter McGallo cape,
right?
Then he took it off, and it was one outfit, and there was another outfit underneath
that. That's what I'm telling you. It's become like performance art, in a way,
right?
So I don't know. I can't say I don't look at the footage.
Because we all do.
I do. I mean, it's there. Like, no matter what, whether it's social media or news, it's like boom, 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 Met Gala.
Even if it's a meme.
Or it becomes a meme. So it's kind of hard not to see. But I don't know. I have mixed... Look, I could understand... Okay, let me take this back. I could understand, appreciated it more or appreciate it when it's still moments of, you know, a lot of these designers design things that are conceptual and not ready to wear.
Right.
Which is the stuff you see in runways.
Right.
So like, for example, remember a few years ago when Rihanna wore that enormous yellow outfit that I think it was a China through a looking glass theme. Okay. That I appreciated because think about the artistry and craftsmanship that it took to build such an enormous article of clothing, such an enormous garment.
Right.
And there is that, there is complete artistic merit to it.
Right.
Right. So I enjoy it more, or I like it more when it's people.
Iman's piece.
Right. Something like that. People wearing these very, very conceptualized, artistic, like pieces that take a lot of craftsmanship.
Right.
That you know, the designer can really go out on a limb and design something that it, you know, again, it's not ready to wear. It's
after after a day of designing, you know, pants and shirts.
Yes. Right. That people are going to be like, oh, wow, look at your artistic vision of that. Right.
That's the reason they got into
it. But again, que nadie me diga a mí que wearing una sobrecama
is art.
Is that people are supposed to be like, oh my God, wow.
What a design.
What? That is amazing. No, it's not.
I agree.
It's not. That's like, you know, nobody's ever going to convince me that the piece of art that's just black, that's, oh my God, that's je ne sais quoi.
Oh, like a black square.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Oh my God. You could tell what the artist was sensing. And like, no. It's a black piece of canvas. It's a piece of canvas painted in black or whatever color. Yeah.
The art behind that type of a piece is how much crap the artist can get people to think they believe.
Mm-hmm. No, because look, there's pieces that a lot of times people don't get that even if I don't get it, like for example, I get the attention behind like American Gothic.
Right.
I get it. It's a piece of its time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really like...
Did you know that they're not married?
American Gothic?
That's a father and daughter.
Oh, makes it even more scandalous.
See?
Right? I love that artist that you like, Lichtenstein?
Lichtenstein, yes.
I love it. And we still don't know who Brad is.
Mm-hmm. No, we never will.
I mean, look, if you look at my bookshelf here, I have a lot of books... and collections of different artists. I love Dali. And Dali is, you know, very conceptual.
Very surreal.
I love it. You know, that you look at it and in the imagery, it makes you think. So that's why, like, when I say this, I'm not coming from somebody from a point of view that it's somebody who's ignorant on what art is and what an artist is trying to express. But I just think that some of these Met Gala pieces are just, I mean, ridiculous.
Right.
Ridiculous. And I think that as they become more and more of a like performance art, I think the artistic vision of like the garment of the designer, it's kind of, because like Lil Nas X, I actually thought what he was wearing was cool.
I liked it too. I thought it was cool. And right. The fact that it was three, you know, right.
And,
looks,
but we're
it was
talking
cool.
More about like, oh, because he took out the outfit and took out another one. Then he had
the
like
reveal.
Right. Then what
he
the
wore.
Actual piece.
Right. Which they know? Were cool. I like the gold one. He looked like a rapper C-3PO.
Yeah. So, you know, whatever. Madonna didn't go. But we always laugh at Madonna because Madonna creates her own theme.
What was the theme this year?
American designer.
American something. Madonna would have worn what she wore when she did Vogue.
Right.
Or
she would have gone dressed as a geisha.
Right.
She would have just brought back her geisha.
Right,
days.
No, because that's appropriation. So right. She would have done the Vogue outfit. She would be like, you know, because America and the French Revolution, and so why not?
Right.
Sure, Madonna,
right.
Why
because
not?
Because the American Revolution inspired the French Revolution,
right.
And that led to the beheading of Marie Antoinette.
And let's face
so
it.
So that's why I'm resurfacing my French
vintage
dress from like the, you know, French Marie
right.
Antoinette era.
Right.
That's why.
Right.
Because it's American.
Right. Like, and people, because I wore it on the VMAs. And what's more American than MTV?
I love how some years ago it was, I always get this name, Garçon.
Gautier? No.
No.
Comme des Garçons?
Yes. Yes. That it was that was the theme. And she went dressed in like military gear.
And the year that she wore the bunny. It wasn't a bunny ears, but that's what it was.
Yeah. So, actually, something else that I wanted to mention.
I would love for them to do one year, like, the theme is Madonna and have her show up as Whitney Houston. Like, just, you know, like, she'd be like, no.
I'm not dressing as myself.
No.
I'll dress up as myself. That is so something she would do. And we'll talk more about Madonna in a minute. Okay. What do you think about all the, like, TikTok stars... And, you know, social media stars.
The fact that you use the word star.
Addison Rae, I didn't know who she was going to this. So what is your take on, like, TikTok people, like, going to these events?
So I could be, you know, crotchety old man on the lawn, you know, you're not getting your ball back, and be like, nah. But, you know, thinking back, okay, I think there was probably, you know, a time where, you know, radio stars showing up at an event that was previously just for, like, you know, silent film stars was like, what are they doing here? And, you know, then when TV came along and went, so I'm sure there's always been a moment where it's like whatever the new media was that these quote unquote, you know, celebrities or faces, actors, whatever, you know, were looked down upon as like, well, why did they invite that person? They're only on radio or TV or, you know what I mean? So I'm sure there was a period of that as well. With that said, I mean, I guess it's inevitable that they get invited to these things, but I don't get it. To me, it seems almost like it's a sign of the times, but it also seems a little bit of a cash grab without actually getting cash grabbed to bring those younger eyeballs and keep those younger viewers engaged.
Well, okay.
And that's my cynical marketing hat.
I understand that, and I got that 100% when I saw that. There were TikTok people there. But my question is, do you think they are stars?
No. I don't.
Why don't you think they're stars? They're creating their own content and they have millions and millions and millions of followers.
Okay.
So what makes a star?
Let's bring it down another level.
Everybody is a star.
And I know it's not at the same level, but are we stars? We create our own content. We have followers.
Right, but we don't have millions of followers.
But I'm saying, okay, let's say tomorrow we have millions of followers. Are we stars, really?
No.
No, right? That's
but we, like, could be, we could be invited to the grand opening of Apollo Notte Pizzeria in Hialeah.
And we would go.
And we would go.
If you invite us now, we'll go. Invite us.
So that could be our version of the Met Gala.
That's our version of the Met Gala. I'm going to wear Madonna's bunny ears when we go. To me... And I think maybe it comes down to the definition.
I'll wear a trash bag and pretend to be Beth Ditto.
Okay, can we do this? Can we take a video of us showing up to Apollo Notte Pizzeria with una sobrecama and a trash bag?
Yeah.
That would be great. I think as I, again, the definition of star changes over the years and all that. But to me, a star is someone like a star, pure star definition. Number one, you have to have an it factor, right? And I think that there has to be a certain level of recognition across age range, across genres. Like, that's why I'll point to Beyonce, right? My parents know who Beyonce is. Your son knows who Beyonce is.
Right, but you could be... Right, that's what I've always said about, like, for example, what is a star? Like, when Madonna and Michael Jackson were at their peak in the 80s and 90s, right. Everybody, whether you were a little kid
or I don't or like them. Bob Dylan.
It was my grandmother, somebody in the U.S., somebody in Africa. Everybody knew who these people were.
Right. But I think media is so fragmented now.
But, for example, it...
Like, you could be a star within a subset.
No, because I was thinking Lizzie McGuire. Hillary Duff. When she was in her Lizzie McGuire days, she was a star among the Disney Channel crowd. My parents didn't know Lizzie McGuire and still don't know who she is. You know,
but that's always been that subset of child actor, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I think child actors has always been like there's that subset of people who know because, you know, you're 8 years old and you're supposed to or whatever. You know what I mean?
Just like there are, excuse me. Just like there are, you know, country singers, for example. We don't follow country music that are very big within the genre.
True, but Mina, look, I know who Kacey Musgraves is.
Yeah, but you're talking about like really big people. Like I could tell, I know that Alabama has won the most American Music Awards.
Alabama Shakes. Oh, Alabama. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Alabama Shakes is another one. Every time there's a Grammy, Alabama Shakes is going to be there. I don't know what they sing, but I see them every year. Once it's like they like when Mariah gets taken out for Christmas, they get taken out for the Grammys from storage. I don't know. There's always been levels of stardom too.
Well, I have a better answer.
Okay, go for it.
I think what just puzzled me about either TikTok or social media is that
everyone's a public figure.
Well, it goes back to reality television, and I think that social media or the stardom caused by social media is an evolution of reality TV stars.
Mm-hmm. Was Snooki ever invited to one of these
things? Before, who were stars? They were singers, actors, maybe even athletes.
You had the occasional socialite, like a Paris Hilton.
There were people who had an immense talent.
Who did something?
Who had a product?
Okay.
All these people, their product is themselves.
Yeah.
So is that their talent that they're able to market themselves?
That is a talent.
I see talent as somebody who can sing, somebody who can dance, somebody who can act, somebody those are the arts.
What's a skill?
Right. A skill set that traditionally that has been entertains you. Let me entertain you.
That's where we differ. So you went Robbie. I was going to go Gypsy.
Gypsy who?
Gypsy the musical. Let me entertain you. No, I can't think of the rest of the line.
What is that?
It's from Gypsy.
What is Gypsy?
It's a musical about the life of Gypsy Rose Lee, the first famous burlesque dancer in American history.
I did not know that.
Oh, okay.
There we go.
See, Gypsy would have been invited to the Met Gala.
I thought you were going to say Gypsy Tramps and Thieves.
By Cher?
Yeah, I thought that would have got more that route.
Oh, no, because it's Let Me Entertain You is the name of the song.
No, it's Let Me Entertain You by Robbie Williams. Badass song.
Actually, when I do my concert playlist, I start with the opening bars of Let Me Entertain You by Gypsy, and then I segue into the one by Robbie.
But you don't have the opening bars of the one by Robbie because they're awesome.
Well, no, because that's what I go into.
Okay, anyway.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC.
For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey people, DJ here. If there's something that I've made pretty clear over four seasons of this show is how much I love music. Creating the perfect playlist is one of my favorite pastimes. And now I have the perfect way to hear them with my Raycon wireless earbuds. You all know since a quarantine, I've become obsessed with biking, and Raycons are the best way to listen while I'm pushing myself to get those extra miles. Not only do they come with a bunch of gel tips so you can listen in comfort, but they don't stick out of your ears like some other earbuds do. And with a 32-hour battery life, I can bike for miles with my Raycons without worrying about my soundtrack going silent, because that kind of sucks. Did we also mention Raycons are half the price of other premium audio brands without sacrificing quality? Well then, how about you make your own soundtrack with Raycon? Right now, Pero Let Me Tell You listeners can get 15% off their Raycon order at buyraycon.com/pero. Plus, they come with a 45-day happiness guarantee, so you really can't lose. So visit buyraycon.com/pero to save 15% off your Raycons. buyraycon.com/pero.
Hola, mi gente. It's Ish here, and we are back with Justin Galindo, general manager for UFIT. Now, we're here to talk about this week, like, how are we going to get the most out of a gym membership, right? Now, we all know that UFIT memberships start at $10 a month, which is a fantastic deal. Like, honestly, just go out there, guys, shop around. It is a great deal. But you're here to tell us that there's a way we can kind of take it to the next level, right, with the Lime Card. So what's the Lime Card about? Is it something to put in tequila?
So the Lime Card is the next level to the standard membership that's $10 a month.
Okay.
It gives you access to every single membership we have nationwide. And you get access to bring guests in with you every single time you come in. Not just the same person, but it could be a different person every single time you come in. And then the drinks. The drinks come out to a half price. So the protein, water, pre-workouts are usually $2, $3, $4, $5, come out to like $1 or $2. And then also access to our classes, our GX classes, our Zumba classes, cycling classes, our massage rooms, our cardio theater, all the extra amenities that we have. The Lime Card gives you benefits to all of that.
So you say any location. All right. Any location. So I got my Lime Card membership. I'm in, I don't know, Georgia. Mm-hmm. I can walk into any location in Georgia and be able to work out?
Of course. If you have locations there, you can go ahead and use the Lime Card to check in and go ahead and visit that UFA visit near you.
That is fantastic. Now, you mentioned, okay, you also mentioned being able to bring people in. Yes. Now we know that, you know, it's a little hard to motivate people. Sometimes they need that extra, like, hey, come on, come with me, come work out with me. When they show up, what do we got to do? Just, you know, here, this is my buddy, walk right in with us.
We do have a brand new system on the iPads. Okay. So we just register on the iPad. So the first time they have to put all the information in. After that, they come again, they just put their number, press check in, that's it, they're good to go. And provide the ID, just so we can double check, and that's it. It's super simple now.
All right. So it's fairly easy now. All right. You mentioned classes.
Yes.
Now, I know that you've got Zumba classes at this location that we're at because I have personally taken the Zumba classes several times. It was fantastic. I gotta give a shout out to the instructor. It was really, really fun. But also, I just love to dance. So any excuse on a Thursday. So is there some type of, like, you know, you have to sign up for the classes, or is it something that you can go online and kind of register for them beforehand?
So you can go online and see the schedule, but they are first come, first serve, because they do get kind of packed. The limit is 25, and we give out little slips to everybody that comes in. So you have to sign in the sign-in sheet in the front desk. So that's the capacity, 25. You sit on a sign-in sheet, you get your pass, and you go to the class, and you give the passes to the instructor. She collects them all, or he collects them all, and then after class, they'll bring it back to us and go from there. All
right, cool. Now, you mentioned the drinks are half price.
Yes.
What are we talking here?
Protein, pre-workout, water.
The whole nine.
Yeah, everything.
The whole nine. And it's in the vending machines. You guys have those little vending machines.
No, we have the coolers. We have coolers.
The coolers.
We work out if you need that extra burst of energy. You come to the gym after a day of work or first thing in the morning, you're tired, sluggish, get that pre-workout. Go ahead, have a good workout. After the workout, you want a recovery, get a protein shake. It's going to be half price with the lime card. And the water, you know, you need to stay hydrated. Water comes out to $1.
Do you? That's really? Is that a thing? You have to stay hydrated? Who knew?
Of course. Yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome, man. No, I mean, listen, I actually am a Lime Card member, so I know about all these benefits. But I have to say, I feel like after talking to you, I don't really take advantage of the benefits as much as I should. Like, you know, I've never bought any of the drinks or, you know, or done any of that. So I think you've opened my eyes to some of the additional benefits.
You're not alone. You're not alone.
Yeah. Probably most people just come and work out and go home, right?
Or they use one or two that they mainly just bring a guest in with them or just buy the drinks. But, I mean, you could use all the benefits. You know, they're all there because you're paying for it every single month. Yeah.
Might as well get your money's worth.
Exactly.
That's awesome. Man, okay, so talk about benefits, everybody. Like, you've just heard it here. I mean, honestly, the Lime Card has, you know, it's got better benefits, I guess, than your average. Although, hey, listen, the base plan is great, too.
If you have the basic membership, the standard, you can upgrade to the Lime Card completely free. Just come in, talk to our front desk, tell them you want to do it. It's a 5-minute process. They upgrade you, and then the only thing that would change will be your monthly bill. Instead of paying that $10, you'll pay the $25 for the Lime Card on the same day that your payments are coming out. And there you go. That's it. You got the Lime Card.
So see, benefits. If you're a UFIT member and you have a base plan and you're tired of coming to the gym and seeing other people look like they're having way more fun than you because they have a Lime Card membership, you can upgrade at any time. You guys make it so friggin' easy. It's like ridiculous.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. So honestly, benefits, ease, what are you waiting for? Go ahead and visit ufit.com to find the club nearest you. And you can even join online. But again, please keep in mind, amenities do vary by location.
So what we're saying, yeah, they're like, what makes a star?
And again, marketing yourself is a skill. It is a talent. Like, not everybody knows how to do it properly. So I agree with that. But is that enough of a skill to get you invited on a Dancing with the Stars, to the Met Gala, to a VMAs?
And then the other thing is, from the point of view of these YouTube, TikTok, whatever stars, mm-hmm. is that a lot of these people, their images, they sell their image, and they're all it's about them. These images are manufactured. They're
it's manicured
filters
yeah.
or whatever. Whereas, I mean, you can make the argument that certain singers are manufactured, and certain singers
have publicists.
Have T-Pain and
Auto-Tune
and all that. But again, there's a certain element of talent, right?
Right. Maybe you're a producer more than a singer.
So maybe this all ties back to what Andy Warhol said.
Or everybody more recently,
15 minutes of fame.
Or more recently, Mariah.
A meteorite. Great song, right?
Such a great song.
That's such a good song that nobody knows. That nobody knows.
Check it out, listeners.
Meteorite by Mariah from her 2014 album, Me, I Am Mariah, The Elusive Chanteuse.
Stupid ass album name.
Now that we've moved on from the Met Gala, let's go to the VMAs.
Because once we've bridged with Mariah, what's left?
You know, it's just such an evolution. The VMAs used to be like one of the highlights of my year.
Would you call it an evolution or a de-evolution?
Right? But, so the VMAs were this past Sunday, and they were opened up by Banana, and we'll get to that in a minute. Yeah. What I actually did enjoy, that's why I thought the VMAs were so good this year, was that because it was a 40th anniversary of MTV, it was all about the nostalgia.
Oh, okay.
Did you see it?
I saw bits and pieces.
Why didn't you see it?
Because I was editing some things that we have coming up.
Okay, and you didn't see it in like the 3,000 different times they aired it?
I was exhausted.
Okay. Madonna opened it up. Did you see her opening?
Yes, that I did. I made sure to see
the video.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
That was great.
You know, it's kind of, the video is her storytelling how 40 years ago she went to New York and, you know, 40 years ago MTV started and she gets off in Times Square and then she comes out, you know, in like leather clad and shows her ass.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people had a problem with it. And I'm kind of like, go Madonna.
This is what she does.
It is.
This is what she does.
And then you know what?
L'unico che will say, oh yeah. You've had some problems with your ribs lately. Loosen the corset a little bit. Porque estaba que le faltaba
aire. No, she doesn't have problems with her ribs. She's had problems with her knee.
Oh, I thought she
fell. Broke her rib when she fell off the horse like 15 years ago.
Well, no, still. You can't put a tight corset on at 60 and not feel that rib.
You know, after people were talking crap about her, and I'm like, you do realize this is exactly what she's always done, right?
Right, right. Like, thank you for feeding the monster, right?
Like, yeah. She's always done this.
Yeah.
She goes out, people are saying, that's it. She's crazy. You know, she sucks.
And for
the
next week, you know, that's all we talk about.
You know, she was trending. I think at one point, she was like the third thing, like top thing trending on Twitter. You know,
a 60-year-old woman.
You know, was granny, trending. You know, give granny her walker. And I'm like, okay, you do realize that you've once again, you know, after like 40 years of her doing this,
talk about a talent,
right?
Talk about a talent,
you know. And I'm like, you know, good for her. I have to tell you that there was a period in Madonna's career which actually musically I actually liked, which was like the time that she did like Confessions on a Dance Floor and all that and Hard Candy, which musically I liked, but her image was very conservative. And I would always think like, no, like when she was writing children's book, I'm like, oh, no,
like Evita.
No, but not even Evita, because Evita.
Well, she did,
but she really took on that role. But after, for a while, like in like the early,
like she's like, I'm a grown up now.
Like from 2000 to 2010, she was very like conservative, and she'll wear these like, flower dresses.
That's what
summer
she was
dresses.
British.
Yes, it was. She was like the lady of the manor.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know about that. I don't feel that's who she really is.
Who knows who Madonna really is anymore?
But you know what? Good for her. No, they had a lot of people. They had like Ashanti and Ja Rule. They had
Busta Rhymes, which was so good,
awesome. They had
the Foo Fighters got their award.
The Foo Fighters got an award. They had Lance from NSYNC, AJ from Backstreet Boys, and
Drew. Nick.
Nick from 98 Degrees, which they didn't actually get. A lot of people didn't clap for them, which was whatever. But they really pulled in the nostalgia. And that's why I was like, at the end, I was like, oh, I really like this VMAs. I'm like, yeah, because like everybody they brought was. And I don't know if you saw it, but Normani.
Yes. That's
her
name.
Did you see her, what she did?
No.
So she, when I saw it, I actually tweeted about it and I put it on my Twitter. That I put
the Janet thing.
Yeah.
Because I saw your tweet. I didn't see
her. Like, I hope the 25-year-olds realize that she's been paying homage to Janet Jackson. Because I would like to think she was. Because if not, she was
But see, I feel like, I don't know, maybe MTV, I get that it's youth and you want to bring youth eyeballs. But I think they could have embraced it a little more. Like, maybe done more, I don't want to call them, duets. Like, you know, pair people up. Like, you know, put Justin Bieber with a Justin Timberlake. You know, the Battle of the Justins. I don't know. You know, just maybe they could have embraced it a little bit more. I don't know. Because
featured it. But you didn't watch it.
What about what you're telling me? It's not like they brought that many, like, old acts, obviously.
No, they brought a lot. Like, I'm not naming all of them now. Oh, but okay. They brought a lot. Like, I feel that everybody that presented a video was
part of the
somebody
history
from the 90s. I actually liked that a lot, but that's why at the end I'm like, oh, these VMAs were really good. Everybody thought Britney was going to show up, so I mean, look, we talked about this a few weeks ago with MTV
ad nauseum
about MTV. I just think so many things about MTV that it would have to be like an MTV podcast. I love the VMAs. I watch the VMAs now and think about like the former glory of the VMAs, but I still watch them.
Do you watch them with like a sense of hope every year? Like
this time. Yes. Yes. And there have been some years that they're good, and then there have been some years that they're awful. I think though that, you know what, though? What I'm going to say is kind of like, I think for a lot of A-listers, the VMAs are kind of below them at this point.
Well, because MTV's not MTV anymore.
Because I think about, like, absent this year that it was all about the anniversary, I can't even see Beyonce going to the VMAs unless they're going to honor her with something.
Right,
or,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or, like, you know, she has 25 nominations. Like, right. I just don't see her and a lot of other people going to the VMAs, so...
I don't
disagree. Oh, yeah, where's Jewel?
Oh, no, is she in her van again?
I like Jewel.
Maybe she's off yodeling somewhere.
I thought she was very pretty. Very
she's
pretty.
Cute.
Very, I liked her songs for my sensitive, sensible side.
What?
My sensitive side.
Is that the name of her
album? Yeah, I'm making it up.
Oh, no, because I'm racking my brain. I'm trying to think of all of her albums.
Oh, my God. Today, I was at the Sedanos in Coraway in 122nd. Don't ask why I was there, but I was there. Okay. And in the front of the Sedanos, there's like a guardrail.
Uh-huh.
And there was, I'm not kidding, I was going to stop and take a picture of it. These like six old, there must have been Cuban guys, old men sitting there all there because they're all in like their 80s.
Oh, so they're old.
Well, yes.
Okay.
What did you think I meant by old?
I don't know, like 60s.
Right. No, these men were older in the 60s. And I'm thinking like, ¿de qué están hablando? They're talking about the three C's.
Cuba, communism, and culo?
Café.
Oh,
culo.
Well, I thought this was going to go like to one of those like viejo verde stories. No, like some woman walked by and they were catcalling.
They're talking about the three C's. Cuba, communism, and café. You know, café.
And having café.
No, they first have café, Cuba, and communism.
This is true.
Because why would
what
it
else?
Not end
what
in
else?
Communism?
What else? All roads
it
lead to
communism.
All roads lead to communism.
All roads lead to communism. And I was there like thinking like, I was about to get off and take a picture of them because I'm like, this is so... like perfect.
Oh, it kind of sounds in my head like the Cuban Miami version of that iconic picture of the steel workers on the girder.
Yeah, yes, that's sort of
that's
what
how
it was.
I'm picturing it.
That's sort of what it was.
Okay, that's how I'm picturing it. Right.
Yeah, in front.
That's how I'm picturing it.
So you know, because of certain projects I'm working on, I was also at the Sedanos earlier this week on in Flagler. And we're talking about like Flagler de Atlantipico. So this is like really
okay, that's like
deep into like Little Havana, you know, Flagler, that whole area.
Almost the single digits.
And I don't think I'd ever been to that Sedanos before.
I didn't know there was one there.
There's no reason. There's a lot of Sedanos in that area.
Really?
It's okay, Little Havana.
But I don't go to that area.
Like you say things that I'm kind of like, but I don't understand. How are you going to be surprised that there's Sedanos in Little Havana?
Because I just don't go. No, not that there's going to be there, but you're saying there's so many. And I'm like,
just
oh.
Like there's so many Sedanos in Hialeah. Like, do you think the Sedanos are going to be in Pinecrest?
There could be one.
There could be one.
I don't stop to think about the actual number.
Okay. Anyway, so I went to the Sedanos. Mind you, it was packed. It was like
really?
Packed like the Wednesday before the Thursday of Thanksgiving. Like, and it just... it's wonderful. It feels so...
it's like a hug.
I'm a home. You know, as much as I love Publix, you know?
But there's a certain feeling you get.
There's like... you know...
Publix, maybe we're shopping as a pleasure.
It's so
but it's
wrong.
Not the same.
Everything here is so wrong, but it feels so right. Like, yeah, your kid... you know, there was this little girl, like... you know, there was a display of rice, you know, the bags of rice. Right. And she was there on top of the rice, just jumping and, like, laying down. And I'm like... that's
never changed.
Never allowed that in Publix, but here it's okay.
It's almost encouraged.
And then, you know, there were these two old women not fighting, but arguing about how expensive el jugo de naranja estaba y que el jugo de naranja ya no servía porque las naranjas son de la China. And I'm like, well, that is where a lot of these, like... fruits come from originally, like
oh well, yeah, okay, if we go back, yeah,
yes, like originally, but yeah. So that's why Dominicans,
Puerto Ricans,
call it jugo de China,
Puerto Ricans
or mandarin, mandarin,
oh
you
yeah,
know?
Mandarina, that's
or
right,
mandarina,
yeah,
right, and then just in la carniceria, like
la carniceria in those supermarkets is always un bayou.
Yes, it's so wonderful. Like I go there and I'm like, wow, like play the theme music in my mind, like. I love it. I love it. And I love looking, going to like the detergent aisle and seeing all the radioactive, you know.
All the fabulosos that look like that.
Right, because in Publix, they have like the lavender fabuloso and like the regular one.
And at Sedano's, you have the one that looks like the color of Gatorade.
Yes, and the one that's like, you know, atomic purple and right. like atomic red. And it's like, wow, like
it looks like if they were doing a science show on the Disney Channel, those are the colors that they would use.
Yeah, and I love that in like the dairy aisle, they always have the little things going in the cappuccino next to Lila's flan.
Oh yeah,
yeah, you know, oh. And like I love it. It's
like a hug.
It's like a hug.
It is like a hug.
It's
it
like
is.
I feel like I have a comforter around me, just not A$AP Rocky. You know, at the Met Gala.
Would you wear a Sedano's to the Met Gala?
I'm not at the Met Gala. I'm a Sedano's. I wouldn't say I'd rather be a Sedano's on the Met Gala. I mean, listen, if they invite us to the Met
we're
Gala.
We're going to the Met Gala.
We're going to the Met Gala.
You have two sobrecamas we can use.
Right. I have a special sobrecama.
Oh, and it's designer.
Yeah. Should we tell our listeners this story?
We haven't told them the story.
No.
Let's then. Okay.
So, listeners, we all have that ridiculous thing that, like, is either expensive or
the splurge item
that we don't use, right?
The special occasion
we
item.
Don't use, right? Or we just take out occasionally. Right, right. So when I was like in college, I don't know, I was like 20 years old. I got as a present, somebody gave me as a present, this really nice denim Ralph Lauren comforter.
Italian fino.
Very nice. It was denim.
And era de marca.
It had like the Ralph Lauren flag. I still have it. It had the Ralph Lauren flag and like the thing. It was really nice.
It was very classic
Ralph Lauren. And then, you know, my bed at my parents' house, which I still have, is Ethan. Like, the back was Ethan Allen. Nice. And I had
wood.
It with, like, with the white sheets and the white pillows with, like, the denim. It was very nice. I think it still looks nice.
Like, that bed could have gone sailing in Cape Cod.
Bueno. Yes. Bueno. That comforter-ish dubbed the special occasion comforter, because I would only put it on because we did not sleep with that comforter. No. That was not a daily comforter.
No, that was not a sleeping comforter.
No. We can't get drool on that comforter.
No. And like skin particles?
No. And other things? No.
Get them body.
So I would have that comforter nicely put away, tucked away, folded in my closet. But when I knew people were coming over and, you know, either
un cumpleaños
or that you guys were coming over
right.
or que había visita.
Right. Una crisma.
I would take out the special occasion comforter. Pero here's the best part about it, right? I would take out my special occasion comforter. My room looked like it looked on a magazine. It was. Like it was ready for
an advertisement. Very Architectural Digest ready.
And I'd be like, nobody can sit on that on the special occasion comforter.
But of course not.
Of course not, because
then it
gets
people's dirt and all that shit.
So that all you guys would come in my room and you would sit in my desk.
Yes.
Some of you would sit in my desk. And then you'd all sit on the floor because you could not sit on the special occasion comforter.
But in all fairness, the special occasion comforter was usually out like on your birthday, like you said. Right. So it was also full of gifts. So there was no opportunity to sit.
Right. Because on your birthday.
Right.
Okay. Actually, you know what? Let's have a conversation about this. Because I've never understood if this is a Cuban thing, a Latin thing, or a Miami thing, or a ridiculous thing.
It could be all.
What is the tradition? And this would be one of these cool little voiceover things you post on our
Instagram. Okay. Respond, please. Yes.
Okay. Was I the only one that on my birthday, I would display my birthday presents on my bed?
You are not the only one.
I sort of still do it.
I still do it. When I get home on Christmas, like after having gone to all of, you know, like my parents, my sister, I get home and I put everything in la cama.
Yes.
And then that's step one, because I first put it on la cama while it's still like in the boxes and the bags and everything. Then I take everything out of the boxes and the bags and I still display it on my bed for the next day.
Yes. I would do it too. Like, I mira esta camisa, I'd put it on the bed. La tarjeta que me dio
you
mima,
have to,
I'd put it on the bed. La javita con whatever.
Right.
I would put it on the bed.
Yes.
And I'm like, why am I displaying my
for
gifts
no
on my
one.
Bed? For no one.
For no
like,
one.
Audience of one. Like,
if that.
Why do we do that?
I don't know.
Where did that come from?
You are not alone. You are not alone. You know, that has to be a Cuban thing.
Okay, listeners, you have to chime in on this.
Yes, like, we need audience participation.
I don't know. And it's funny because when I was smaller, probably I have several pictures like this. I mean, smaller, I mean like 3, 4, 5.
Okay, right.
Then my mom would take a picture of me sitting on the bed before the special occasion comforter.
Claro, this was
sitting on the bed with the gifts. Right.
So this BC before evolved Comforter.
From there, right? But I still do it. Like, I still put it on my bed.
Hello. Of course. I'm telling you, I do this.
I'm. Eso vino de España. Is that what it means? Like, you know how you say, that when you go to a comic book convention, if you don't know what it is,
it's anime.
Is anime?
It's anime, yeah.
I think it's the same for like Cuban and Caribbean culture. When there's something that is a tradition and you don't know why or the purpose
of it.
Eso vino de España. Because, you know, in Spain.
It's a nice catch-all.
In Spain and back in the day, they used to do some weird shit. You know? It's like, eso vino de España, es la costumbre.
That's a good catch-all.
Yeah.
I'm going to agree with you. Eso es España.
Eso es España. En España la gente ponía eso. And somehow it made its way to the Caribbean. And,
it traveled.
It traveled.
It traveled almost as much as your monk costume did.
Yes. Yes. My monk costume. So my special location comforter.
Yes.
It may make a comeback.
Don't tease me.
It may.
Don't tease me.
Because I still have it. And my parents' room, my room at my parents' house, I'm sort of going to fix soon. Mm-hmm. And it may make a comeback. So... We'll keep you and our listeners.
Don't make promises to me you
so,
can't keep.
So, listeners, do you display your presents on your bed? Mira el perfume.
Yes.
Que te regaló tita. Mira, okay, ponlo
but
ahí.
But if it was in a box, would you stand the box up or would you lay it down?
No, it was like for a cologne?
Yeah.
No, I would take it out of the box. Uh-huh. And then, like, if it was Eternity, because it was right. always Eternity by Calvin Klein, right? I would put the gray box and then I would put the cologne in the front.
Oh, no, I would just lay the box down on the bed.
Oh, without the cologne?
Without the cologne's inside. Right. Like, no, yeah,
but,
yeah.
But people need to see the bottle.
But again, remember, I was a process displayer.
Right.
I, you know, there was the first day, and then after I took everything out, I would still
right.
put it right.
Right, yeah.
A process displayer.
A process displayer. That, a transfunction. A transponder. Transponder, yeah. Yeah. Eso es España, chico.
Eso es España. That's it. When we don't know where it's from, it's España.
Oh, well.
So you thirsty?
I guess I am. What do you have?
Well, I am going to give my last soda to someone that we've probably given our last soda to before.
The Heifer Corporation.
Well, okay. That is not the Heifer Corporation. And it ties back to, you know, as we said earlier, we're in Hispanic Heritage Month. So I am actually going to give my last soda to the toy company Mattel.
Oh, yeah.
Because in honor of Hispanic Heritage Month, they posted on their Barbie Twitter and Instagram that they created two new one-of-a-kind role model dolls. One of them is Dominican-American author and activist Julia Alvarez. And the other one is our collective queen, Celia Cruz. And so the fact that they created, you know, a Celia Cruz doll is like, it's just, I love it. I was looking at it. It made me feel happiness inside, you know, that this woman's legacy will never die. You know what I mean? Her legacy will continue for as long as the world keeps turning. I really sincerely believe that. It's also one of the first Barbies I ever saw that looks like it's got a little junk in the trunk, you know, she's got that little Cuban booty pop. But down to the gap in her teeth, the white eyeliner, the dress, it is, I mean, unmistakably Celia Cruz. So, some of our followers on Instagram said it looked a little bit like Cardi B, but it looks like Celia Cruz, trust me. So yeah, I'm going to go ahead and just, you know, give it to Mattel because, again, sometimes they also create these one-of-a-kind dolls and then auction them off. I haven't seen if that's going to be the case this time, but they sometimes auction them off and then the funds go to charities and things like that. So it'll be interesting to see if that's what ultimately happens. And if it is, I think, listeners, that we should, you know, take up a colecta or something and buy it and then, I don't know, put it in the Smithsonian or something.
Very, very nice.
So how about you?
Okay, you're going to have to pause here. So my last soda goes to, I love whenever we talk about her. So Mayim Bialik.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I actually thought about this earlier. She, with the whole debacle of Jeopardy. Her and King Jennings are going to host Jeopardy for the remainder of the
Which
year.
Which makes sense.
No, it doesn't make sense because.
I'm okay with Ken Jennings and Mayim Bialik.
Oh, no, totally. Like, well, I wouldn't be giving her a last soda if I wasn't.
Right.
Which it should be LeVar Burton. Correct. I don't know why they're waiting on that. I would like to think they're coming up with the contract.
His damn terms.
Right. You know, Mayim Bialik is one of these people, and this is why I'm giving her my last soda. Talk about, like a second and third act because, seriously, you know, when she did blossom, and you know, the thing about her is that she, for better or for worse, she's never fit into the traditional Hollywood mold.
Yeah, she's what they would call a character actress,
right? And you know, Blossom was one of these shows. You know what I think is so interesting about that show is that Blossom, when it was on air, it was very popular, but that show hasn't really had a life. It's not had a second life on syndication.
No, no. It's on Hulu now, but that's
whatsoever.
About it.
Yeah, that's it's yeah. Not like Full House, you know, that just
never went away. Brady Bunch.
Never went away. Brady Bunch. Right. Even other
Friends.
Some, because there's some shows that go onto syndication for like 10 years and then eventually, because like, for example, Growing Pains and Who's the Boss and all those shows,
right,
they were on syndication for a while. Yeah. Like, they're not on anymore, but for a while. But Blossom, I feel that once they called it quits, no, it was
yeah.
gone.
Yeah, it was right? It maybe did a year or two.
And then she was gone for a bit. She got a PhD, you know, as one does after they have a hit sitcom. And then, you know, out of nowhere, Big Bang Theory, and she kills it on the Big Bang Theory.
Emmy nominated.
Yes. And she was freaking, you know what's so funny about her character on the Big Bang Theory is that it was a character that you don't know they needed. Because, well, it's not like the first couple of seasons when she wasn't there,
right,
that you were like, you know, they really need like a female counterpart to Sheldon.
Right. It wasn't missing something.
Right, it wasn't. But then like once she was there and she made her mark, like you couldn't imagine the show without Amy.
And I love the evolution of the character.
Of Amy? Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Like she was so well written.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and what I liked about that character, again, to the writing, was that she was a little quirky and she could have easily become like a caricature.
Right.
But Amy had depth.
Yeah, she wasn't just a female nerd.
Right. And now, you know, she does endorsements and now she's, you know, hosting Jeopardy. So, you know, good for her.
She has her own show.
She had, right, the one of the cats.
Call Me Cat. And yes, it's got a second season.
Yeah. So, you know, good for her. Good, sure, for Mayim Bialik, you know. That's the story of what's the saying? That song? That's the glory of. That's the story of love.
Oh,
you know why I'm singing that. Beaches.
Oh, that's right. Beaches. That's where she got her big break. That's right.
Yes.
Playing a young Bette Midler.
Yes. And do you know that her big break was so big that she was one of the many celebrities who was part of the Librarian Girl video?
Is that why she's in it?
She's in the... Well, okay, Imayan.
No, because
okay.
I thought it was Blossom. I didn't know the time frame. I don't remember...
How on earth are you so bad with dates? Okay, Liberian Girl's from like 1988.
Okay, Blossom's from like 89, 90?
No, Blossom is like from 90, 91.
Oh, okay, so I'm off by like 2 years.
But she was still a little girl in the Liberian Girl video.
When Blossom started, she was...
She was not in Blossom!
Ugh.
Oh, that's why she's in Liberian Girl, because she was like really like a sensation.
That video is a great snapshot of everybody who was just in the limelight.
You want to know pop culture? Watch the Liberian Girl video
by Michael Jackson.
By Michael Jackson. Jasmine Guy looks great in that video. Yeah. Great, great video. So my final soda to Mayim Bialik, because we love her. She's
we do.
Great.
We do. We do.
It's just great Mayim. Energy, you know.
Yeah, I love
she
listening
take
to her
herself seriously.
On
you know, good for her. So, well, everybody, that was that. We're looking forward to hearing how many of you put your gifts on your bed. So remember to, well, we hope you listened, laughed, and learned. Remember to grab your pastelito, your croqueta, and your cafecito. And thank you so much for joining us. That was episode
174.
Have a great weekend, everybody. All better right. Friday, better weekend. Bye.
We didn't say it. Bye. Pero Let Me Tell You is co-hosted by Darian Borges and Ismael Liano, produced by Ismael Liano, and our theme, Pero Let Me Tell You Freestyle, is composed by Michael Angelo Lomlaplex, the official gay guy. And don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review on iTunes.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.